Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Radio Free Nintendo. As you may have already noticed, this is not the voice of Jonathan Metz.
What?
I'm afraid. No, it isn't. No, I can do a rather spiffing Alabama accent. Probably well known for saying the word spiffing as well. Johnny is once again unable to join us, which I can only interpret as he was thoroughly approved the last time he was absent during what is now already infamously described as 103.
Mm-hmm.
he's obviously fine with leaving us to our own devices, but we've got a very special show in his absence, which I will be hosting. This is Greg, our UK correspondent, and joining me is inexhaustible features and podcast editor James Jones.
I'm not supposed to talk.
Thank God.
No. Well, it's going to be really slow if you don't, because
best podcast ever.
Our only other guest this week is somewhat more exhaustible reviews editor Jonathan.
Hey, that's right. Howdy.
Yes, and we're going to be taking a special, as people should know by now, next week's going to be E3. Nintendo are going to be having their suppressor at the Kodak Theatre. They're back there this year. Next Tuesday at about 9 o'clock Pacific, and presumably they will actually be finally spilling the beans on some of the games that will be coming out this year. And we thought we'd dedicate a whole episode to predicting and wish listing all the things that we want to come out of E3. And so we're going to head right into it, starting off with a handheld discussion. Now, software-wise, Nintendo are kind of in an interesting place right now, as we don't really have that much on the horizon for the DS. And first of all, I'm going to throw this out to James. What do you think, how many games are they actually going to reveal for DS, if any, this thing? We've already got Kirby, but beyond that,
none.
What do you think? None? Really?
I honestly think they've completely foregone the DS to the third parties.
Sort of in that GBA phase that we had, like, not so long ago, I suppose.
But not even that. I think that they're just decided that their money lies in the Wii, and they're going to let third parties do whatever the hell they want on the DS, as evidenced by the fact they haven't yanked Ubisoft's developer license yet.
Oh, how many minutes are we in and he's got the first dig at Ubisoft? I think, James, you need to edit in some sort of sound effect as a ding or something. the number of digs you get in on Ubisoft. I mean, it's an interesting thing because they have moved into this it is nearly 4 years old now, mm-hmm. even though it sort of seems to have taken on this sort of second life of its own in the middle where it became a real sensation. It is nearly 4 years old, and Nintendo don't seem that especially interested in developing completely original games. I mean, some of the ones we do know about, we've got the Fire Emblem remake. I think it's a remake of one of the early titles.
Yeah, I think
NES.
It's 3, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, which I presume had not ever come to the West before, as most of them hadn't, so it's kind of original for people over here. But and it's very core gamery. You know, Fire Emblem is not the Blue Ocean crowd at all.
No.
And there's the Kirby Superstar remake that we talked about last week. And then in Japan, you've got the Rhythm Tengoku, like, remake sequel or whatever that is. I'm not quite sure.
Can I make a comment here?
Yeah, sure.
Those games have one unifying theme. Anybody want to make a guess what that was?
Go on.
Remake.
Yeah, exactly. So they're not, you know, so far what they've said is not a particular appetite for original games. And I just wonder, are they actually going to kind of seal the deal here by not announcing any more? And then at that point, I think we can safely presume that they've kind of jumped off the DS in total. I mean, what do you think, John?
Well, I think, I was thinking about the DS, and it's really interesting to me because it almost reminds me of the SNES back in its heyday where, like, a fan of the DS right now, they don't even have to really think about Nintendo. I mean, granted, Nintendo isn't really releasing anything, but all of the stuff that I'm hyped about that's coming for the DS, I know, Greg, you'll agree with me that we're both big fans of Bangayo Spirits, which is supposedly, amazing from all accounts, from what I've heard of the Japanese import reviews. And then a lot of the big RPGs coming, like Dragon Quest IX is coming out. And these are all going to be massive games. And also a lot of with Square Enix stuff coming out too, even though they're all remakes. Well, there's
Chrono Trigger. Yeah, we've got Chrono Trigger.
That's really the it there. Chrono Trigger.
There's also Dragon Quest IV is coming out.
There's a bunch of the old Dragon Quest games, like 4, 5, and 6.
They're getting that Final Fantasy treatment they've been giving games lately.
Yep.
Where they
It seems like Chrono Trigger is going to be more of a straight-out remake than those.
It's a direct port with one
dungeon. A port probably could be a bit more. Although I understand there's an extra dungeon or something.
Yeah, that's it. But I mean...
It's pretty much...
The PlayStation version had more than that.
Yeah.
Yes, I suppose it had those animated cutscenes and things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the point. I mean, obviously, Square Enix are all over the DS, and they have released original content recently, like World Ends With You, and then you've got Dragon Quest IX, which should presumably be absolutely colossal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and then you've got plenty of other sort of vibrant third-party support that's come along, and you can presume that will go on for a while, yeah. But it's interesting to me that Nintendo really don't have anything that's... I mean, because even on the sort of the Blue Ocean crowdy sort of thing, they haven't really got anything on the horizon. In fact, it was something recently where one of their representatives was saying, you know, there would not be another Brain Training game. Basically,
no.
They're quite content to let the previous two continue to sell.
Yeah.
You know, and
well,
is that going to be the model? You know, is there not going to be a new Super Mario Brothers sequel? Because they just think, why spend the time developing that when we'll just keep selling the first one?
Well, you know, they lost the Dr. Kawashima endorsement. So that's part of the reason why there won't be another Brain Training. He actually endorsed the game that came out on the PSP.
Oh, God forbid.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, what I expect from the DS at E3 is that I think what's going to happen is I think they'll announce like a hardware refresh for it, like one final hardware refresh.
Yeah.
And I think that the DS has pretty much one more Christmas left in it. And then I think probably at next year's E3, you'll see them announce new portable hardware.
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, that is an interesting question. But first of all, I guess with the revision issue, the sales have kind of reached the saturation point in Japan. I mean, they're still ticking along pretty nicely, but the PSP's kind of uptake has eclipsed it a bit. And a new revision could be one way to get one more spike of sales in Japan if they're that way inclined.
The question is, are they going to want to do that?
I don't know. I mean, obviously the micro with the Game Boy analogy wasn't necessarily a huge success, although I assume, you know, I think it did all right, you know, an opening, if you will, in Japan.
Yeah.
Collector people.
The Game Boy Advance, I mean, it came out with the big goofy looking one.
Which I still own, so let's be nice.
Yeah, and wasn't there three hardware, I mean, aside from the GBA Micro?
There were two versions, and then there was a subversion of the SP.
Yeah, because the SP actually had, like, later on had better screens and stuff, didn't it? Like, they just kind of improved what was already there.
But see, in all of those cases, something was being improved on.
Yeah.
There was a known problem with the hardware that people had clamored about. I remember the original Game Boy Advance, there was the afterburner backup light kit, and Nintendo basically used the exact same technology for the first SP, which is really not backlit, it's frontlit. Which doesn't look as good. And then they went back and made the SP2, which was backlit.
Mm-hmm.
And each of those instances, it was fixing a problem people were upset about.
Yeah.
But the DS Lite did the same thing with the DS. The DS weighs like two bricks strapped to your hand.
Yeah.
And it's cumbersome, and it's got that little edge around the side that jabs into your hand.
Mm-hmm.
The DS Lite fixed all those things.
Yeah.
There's no real complaint that goes with the DS Lite.
Yeah,
so the question is
there something that's nagging enough to kind of suggest that this needs a full revision?
I mean, it really depends
to what extent they think they can make a quick amount of money on this. I mean,
yeah.
It just doesn't seem pointful in the West because the hardware sales are so robust in America. It kind of caught on really on fire a bit later in the West than it did in Japan. So it hasn't reached the same kind of saturation point. And I agree with John in a lot of ways that I'm not sure that they'll talk about a full-on successor this year, just perhaps to leave that final holiday sale to sales period.
Well, once you start talking about a successor, you take the legs right out from under it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how much it's going to affect the people that are actually going to buy a DS this holiday, I don't know.
Well,
but I guess it's like a trickle-down effect.
The biggest factor here is Dragon Quest IX.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to
do
anything. They're not going to say anything about the new DS until Dragon Quest IX gets released.
Dragon Quest IX is literally, it is on the calendar at Square Enix's offices around the world. It's on the calendar at every Nintendo office around the world. And I can guarantee you it is on the calendar of the PlayStation Portables division's offices around the world.
Yeah,
because in Japan, they have to get good market share before that game comes out or they are dead.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, in Japan, they actually they prohibit the Dragon Quest games from launching on school days.
Yes,
just to make sure that people do not play Mass Hooky just to get that game early.
But, I mean, I'm sure that Sony. I bet you that they don't release any games at all during that week when Dragon Quest 9 comes out.
Well, PSP software is not exactly anything to write home about. Even in Japan.
Japan.
I mean, you've got Monster Hunter and a few other things that have done quite well in Japan.
The Valkyrie Profile.
Yeah.
But even there, it's certainly the kind of renaissance it's experiencing in hardware sales at the minute still isn't going to be matched by the software. And I mean, obviously, Dragon Quest IX will bury everything.
It will be so monumental sales that I guarantee you that it won't make its way out of Japan for at least 6 months simply because they can't meet the manufacturing requirements.
Well, I mean, if they were smart, I think they should have like a Dragon Quest 9 version of the DS.
It's going to happen. There will be a bundle. Units, I mean, nobody doubts that. That's going to happen. I mean, for God's sake, because they did one for Mario Kart.
Yeah, that would be genius.
Yeah, well, a lot of the Square Enix games get that sort of treatment, obviously.
Yeah.
Getting back to it, so we've agreed, I think, that basically the DS has got such third-party legs in it that there's not necessarily going to be. There may be some chance of an opportunistic hardware revision early, but to take advantage maybe of some collectors in Japan, but maybe not. And then the full successor announced and released next year. You think?
No. I think
it'll be announced.
I think announced early the 2010, released in sometime in November. Because I don't think that they're going to drop it in 09, because I don't think I don't think Dragon Quest is going to come out in Japan until 09 anyway. And I don't think it'll make its way to Europe until late 09.
That depends on...
We haven't seen anything about that game in months.
Yeah,
so
we really haven't.
There's no way in hell it's coming out this year.
I think we could safely assume that. But if it comes out, say, sufficiently early in 2009, and then they want to move, especially because in previous times with the original DS, I remember, it came out in North America first, and they might not be so worried about that kind of cannibalization issue. It's a successor in 2009 in America possible for the holiday.
See, I think Dragon Quest VIII though proved a sort of a renaissance for the Dragon Quest franchise outside of Japan, where, back in the very first two or three games, it was sort of on par with the Final Fantasies of the time. Mm-hmm. And then Enix just stopped releasing them outside Japan, and the series sort of fell away. But Dragon Quest VIII saw pretty good sales in the U.S. and saw really good sales in Europe.
I don't think it's the same. It's going to drive hardware decisions or anything the way that it
but
might.
But I think it wouldn't drive hardware decisions by Europe or North America, but it might drive hardware decisions by Japan. And they don't think they're going to even want to have the hardware on the minds of people until after the sales bubble from the DQ is gone.
Yeah.
So I think it would come out sometime in like March 09, and we'll get an announcement at some event in like May, like their spring media event.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I definitely think it's a little early now. I mean, maybe even a small tease that doesn't give anything specific is a bit. I struggle to see that happening at this E3 myself.
Nintendo usually gives us two E3s between when they tease a hardware and when they announce it.
Yeah, well, they could always throw the press a bone and say something like, we don't have anything to talk about at this time, but we're always working on new hardware.
Yeah,
that's the stock answer.
Yeah,
but everybody's
a media frenzy.
Sony's working on new hardware, and God knows they've lost $3 billion. They might not even have any money to produce it.
I mean, the least specific showing that one can make is really kind of what they did with the Revolution 3 years ago in 2005.
Oh, God, let's not reference that.
I mean, all they did is show the casing that we're familiar with now in a bunch of different colours, and we didn't really know why it was called the Revolution in terms of we didn't know about we knew the controller was going to be unique, but we didn't know how it was going to turn out with the Wii remote and all that. So, and obviously they were being coy about the technical issues, which they remain coy on almost up to launch.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you know, they so, did actually...
I mean, they virtually said nothing, but I guess the point with the handheld is that even if you say nothing about what it's going to be, just you know, putting it out there as some sort of psychological effect, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Perrin Kaplan did, you know, when they showed the box, did put her foot in her mouth with the 2 to 3 times more powerful statement. And yeah. I think that statement actually caused Nintendo to go dark for a while. I think they're like, oh, shit, that dumb bitch screwed us up again. look, you find one person in the media who enjoyed their time speaking with her. You won't find it.
Her interviews were maddening.
Yeah,
they were just like, it was like talking to, like, you know, it was like going on a website, one of those websites that just tosses you back answers to a question and tries to, you know, throw some AI at you.
Yeah. Well, her last interview that was released on the internet was the one that she did where she looked kind of drunk with Matt Casamassina. The Matty interview.
Yeah, we're all familiar with that, I think.
That was honestly, that was the worst interview I've ever seen in anything.
This woman's job
was public relations. What the hell? I don't understand why she didn't make the move to L.A. How did that happen?
Well, there you go, I guess.
Jones sued for slander and libel.
Going out on top, I think we call that.
Quote, unquote, so, Mr. Jones, you said in your podcast that Perrin Kaplan is a dumb bitch.
Oh, God, no.
Who looked drunk.
No.
Episode 103 Redux. We assail Nintendo executives.
Yeah, well, that would be a sort of a minor step up, if that's the right terminology.
Slightly, yes. I mean, you want to go on and talk about...
We should get back to software for a minute. And just
wait. Can we talk about Reggie Fils-Aimé's pizza relationship? Because, I mean, if we can get to that, we can really just start rolling.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be plenty of time to discuss Reggie a bit later on. But, I mean, with the DS software... First of all, anybody think any chance of the Fable 2D Metroid showing up?
No. Not happening.
John? I don't know. I mean, I doubt it. It's like with the DS, there's what I would love to see and then what I actually think will happen. And I don't know.
Those are very different things.
I just can't
see it. My feeling on it is no, honestly. But
yeah.
I will say that the new 2D Metroid fits somewhat better into this kind of Kirby Superstar remake. Mm-hmm. Fire Emblem remake kind of phase.
Mega Man 9.
Well, but I'm talking about Nintendo first-party titles on DS. I mean, that seems to be the phase they're moving. You know, at this point, their focus is not on, you know, what it was previously, which was, you know, you've got like stuff like Phantom Hourglass or all these training games or stuff that were trying to branch out. It seems like, you know, they're quite content for those games now as sort of a body of work to entice more people to buy DSs and come into the DS. And then meanwhile, in parallel, they're just servicing the kind of core gamers who are buying more than just a few games for their console. Mm-hmm.
They're
I guess in some sense, in that sense, there's a little more cause for optimism in terms of the general direction that first-party titles are taking for something like a 2D Metroid, but I'm still not particularly optimistic on that front.
Yeah.
No.
We will have Castlevania Order of Ecclesia, which is not entirely different. Mm-hmm. And hopefully
Castleroids.
Hopefully it'll actually mix up the series a bit more, because obviously, you know, this would be the sixth of the 2D games on
the series.
Well, it's the sixth since GBA, where they kind of took on this kind of Symphony of the Night aping kind of formula on handhelds.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll do more than... obviously, Aria and Dawn of Sorrow are kind of direct sequels, so they're very similar to each other. But even outside of that, there's been a lot of similarities. Hopefully we'll change that up a bit and deliver. Obviously, John mentioned Bangaio, which I'm stoked for. That looks like it's going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Anything else anyone's looking forward to from third parties?
I expect that Capcom will announce some sort of Mega Man-branded game on the... DS.
A little bit of a tie-in kind of.
Yeah. I think it's going to be one of their equivalent of the extended universe, you know, all those weird wonked out parallels they've created, but I think they're going to have a game of some kind or another we might.
Well, I mean, well, obviously they've released Battle Network and all this sort of stuff for the DS, you know, ad infinitum. I mean, is there anything? Do you mean something that is a bit more?
No,
well,
no,
should I say a bit less tangentially related to Mega Man?
This is just my Ouija board moment, or that's going to happen. I honestly, I don't think we're going to get a lot of big announcements for the DS because
I
think the
that.
DS is going to be, you know, those low key games like Prince of Persia's and Pets. Mm-hmm. But actually, I did catch one big announcement today. Mad Catz has partnered with Ubisoft to produce Pets themed DS accessories. So it's like
nice.
The two worst companies in the industry are making crap for your DS.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's what we call the perfect storm.
Yes. If we get any of that hardware in for review, I'm claiming it now, and I'm just giving it a zero. Just
I think you have to be like removed from ever handling anything to do with Ubisoft again.
Yeah, you're tainted, James. Sorry, man.
You really have crossed the line into some sort of terrible, bitter vendetta at this point.
Can I do that, John? Can I give something a zero just out of principle because both the parties involved are pure evil?
Well, we'll change you from features editor to undermining the credibility of the site editor.
Yes.
I think that should do it. Then at that point, I think you're free and clear to do really whatever you want. Really,
sweet,
very nice. And with that, we're going to take a short break, and then afterwards, we'll be coming back to discuss all the big, presumably, hopefully, Wii software announcements from Nintendo and others. So join us for that. Hi, and we're back with a look at what's maybe coming up for Wii, our fearless predictions and our wish lists and everything for what could be announced by when Reggie straddles the stage at the Kodak Theater. Of course, a year ago, he got up there and demoed Metroid Prime 3 and Phantom Hourglass, and then Mario Kart was briefly mentioned, and then the big reveal was Wii Fit, which has gone on to dominate the world despite being in scarce supply. So I guess we'll kick it off with John. What do you think we're likely to see from Nintendo?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty much an open secret now that we'll see Animal Crossing Wii.
I mean, further sort of substantiation of that recently with something from the official Nintendo magazine in the UK, which has all but confirmed it, I suppose.
Well,
so you're definitely right about that. It's pretty much a lock.
Yeah, but that wasn't meant to come out yet, was it?
I don't know. I mean, because that is an official magazine. I assume they're just like a complete.
It's official in that they bought the license. It's not run by Nintendo. Mm-hmm.
No, but you'd think they would be sort of in concert. So I don't know whether that's a screw up or not. But certainly, Animal Crossing was expected anyway.
Yeah.
And this is merely just further fuel to that fire.
Yeah.
So I mean, what else? What else do you think, Josh?
Well, I mean, let's run down the other open secrets. Supposedly, Kid Icarus from Factor 5.
I'm not feeling that. I'm sorry.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? In what sense do you mean, James? You're not feeling it in terms of that it would be good or that it does exist?
I don't think it exists. It doesn't match with what Ekbret's been saying.
You talked about Ekbret talked about using the pointer a lot as a game leverage on the pointer. It'll be more accessible. You think a Kid Icarus game doesn't fit into that kind of mold?
Can't it
fit into anything the hell it wants at this point? I mean, it's not even. I mean, it's,
no.
It's just a property. I mean, it's not a franchise. There hasn't been a game since the original Game Boy in the early 90s, I think.
But they can
make it whatever they want to make it. Surely.
I just don't feel like it sort of fits that mold in a game that's leveraged completely on a point. I mean, the property doesn't seem to really fit that mold.
I just think it's sufficiently reflexive at this point in terms of it's so ill-defined because it's just harkens back so far that they can make, and I don't think necessarily that something that's leveraged on the pointer so heavily, as Ekbret has intimated, need be some completely uber-casual game.
Mm-hmm. But he sort of implied that it's going to be a pretty casual game.
Well, I think the implication was more about accessibility.
Yeah. But that's not
that you weren't
going to
have
Kid Icarus
these
is.
Cumbersome.
Kid Icarus is a notoriously inaccessible game.
But like I said, I just don't understand how that's that. I don't see the way the 8-bit game was as such a constraint on what they, if they are, and it is a bit of a curious decision, revitalizing this property. I don't really see that the 8-bit game constrains it so much. I mean, look, if you took a lot of series and just went back to their 8-bit, they were all really hardcore.
Metroid.
Tough, even the original. The original Metroid is very,
but
very
Kid Icarus
tough
was like the most hardcore of the hardcore.
Yeah, but there's only been two in the series.
I just don't see how it has that much of a bearing on what they're going to do with it. I agree. Look, I don't think that we're going to be in a situation where any game that's got Kid Icarus, the Kid Icarus property attached, is going to be as casual as say, Wii Music, which
Kid Icarus with Waggle. I just don't feel like it.
I think there's a distinction to be drawn between accessibility and being completely casual. You know, because I think accessibility implies well, it's not leveraged on loads of buttons. Combinations and stuff, but maybe, you know, there's still a lot of depth there. I mean, one could argue Pro Evo, which we've talked about a lot, that's largely pointer driven.
Yeah.
But that's got a lot of depth to it. And I would argue, as Johnny's kind of mentioned before, the fact that it doesn't depend on a lot of buttons in some ways makes it more accessible, but it is very deep. So I still think it could. I mean, IGN practically, if their aspersions mean absolutely nothing if this true comes to be a completely false.
Yeah. Well, that would change.
Because they have hinted at it again and again and again.
If
this doesn't materialise, you could just write off what they say.
Now you're just making me hope it doesn't materialise just so I can go read their blog posts. After the fact, because you got to admit that would be funny as hell.
Well, the thing is, I think
take a lot of flack.
The thing is with Kid Icarus, I just think that kind of like the Kid Icarus character reboot in Brawl, I don't think that's an accident, because it really seems to me like the same thing they did with like the
Fire Emblem Boys.
Well, no, the Kong Country games. Like all of those, like how they completely revamped.
Like in terms of a new design of the character.
Yeah, like a brand new design of the character that you know, possibly other third parties that, you know, or second parties, whatever you have, you know, can take that kind of character design and run with it and use it for their own stuff, you know.
See,
and
I'm not...
I think just also in terms of the pointer stuff. I mean, don't forget that if they do indeed go with the Brawl kind of character reboot for Kid Icarus, that he's going to be attacking with a bow and arrow. So that's easily, you could easily make that into a pointer.
That doesn't work, though, because the whole premise of Kid Icarus is not just the bow, but the fact that he has fucking wings. And the pointer works well from first person, but that sort of, like, flight via wings has never worked particularly well from first person.
But, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily even have to have, you could easily have it as a platformer and have him fly for only a short amount of time. Like, you know, like press A to flap his wings, and then, you know, he has to come down or something like that.
See, I think platformers in the first person are notoriously tricky to pull off.
I think the issue here is, I mean, we don't know what Factor 5 has got in mind beyond what...
One more thing to note about this, though. Factor 5 absolutely sucks at making anything that involves walking. They are abysmal at it. They have got to be the worst designers of games with walking ever. It's just mind-numbing how bad they are at third-person action.
Well, but, I mean, is that just in the constraints of games that are not primarily built around that?
I just don't think they're good at it.
I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, because those sections of Rogue Squadron 3 or Rebel Striker were very poorly received, with good reason.
And not just that, they use the same design mechanics that were panned in that game in Lair.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how did you not learn?
Well, evidently they thought they had something of a goer, but I mean, I think the point to remember here is I don't think there's anything from what we've heard publicly from Egbrecht that precludes them from doing a Kid Icarus game, because I just think at this point that's so ill-defined, it's so kind of gaseous. It could be almost anything. I mean, and even to the extent that it's using the pointer or whatever, there's so much room within that. I don't think you can rule it out on that basis.
Here's what I'm willing to concede. One, that Ekbret is working on a game. Two, that Ekbret would have liked to work on the Kid Icarus, but that's by his own admission. And three, that somewhere someone is working on a Kid Icarus game. I'm not willing to take that jump from 3 to 1, because I just don't feel like his statements meshed up right. with that.
No, fair enough. There. So what are you expecting? Sort of the kind of lead pipe locks that we've got, Wii Music and Animal Crossing, which presumably will be at least some of the games that are actually going to be coming out this year. Because, of course, with most E3s, you're expected to find out mostly about stuff that are certainly on consoles that's coming out the year after.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This year, we're actually going to find out about the stuff this year first, and then anything further in the future, well, I guess we'll take that if we get it. So yeah. We've got Wii Music, Animal Crossing looking good for this year. Anything else for this year for you?
I have to think that they will do something with the Metroid Prime 3 engine. They will do something, like... Something has to come out of Retro Studios.
So you think what Retro's so is this specifically just like Retro's next game, a first person shooter? You thinking?
I think so.
See,
and that would be maybe further in the future, not that this.
That would have to be further in the future.
Yeah. I don't
well,
know.
One would think so.
John, there's only 60 people on
I mean, with the
Cloak
and Dagger stuff.
Well, when was Metroid Prime 3 released? It was released, what, last November?
It was released in August, but of course, one thing to remember, Metroid Prime 3 was quite considerably delayed, because it was originally conceived as a launch title, and then it went back. So I don't know what that says about the prospect that they could have had something else on the back burner at the same time.
They easily could have had a second team using that engine in parallel.
But there's only 60 people that work at Retro. I mean, it's not a big company.
No.
A second team would have had to have been a really small team.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I think Retro's next project, even with some of the losses, some of the top creative people and things, is something we'd all be looking forward to. Personally, I'm not sure whether we'll see it at E3. Mm-hmm. If we do, it could well be something for next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see concept
year, probably
stuff at
E3. James, what do you think, outside of Animal Crossing and Wii Music, is there something, perhaps a familiar franchise that you could see they're going to drop on us now and it's going to be out in 3 to 4 months' time?
Well,
if you could pick something.
Well, could we explore one of the ones that are already locks in Wii Music?
Sure, yeah.
Because
what do you think they're going to do with that? I mean, it doesn't seem that well-defined right now.
No, it's not.
Course,
and we've seen
since
that...
we first saw it, I mean, because we saw it all the way back at 2006, didn't we?
And the thing is
that since then, the music game kind of arena has changed dramatically.
Yeah, and that's what my point was going to be. What the hell are they going to do with Wii Music now? Because it's, you know, when we first saw it, it was Miyamoto walks out on stage and conducts a band that keeps up with his... pace.
Yeah, in time. Yeah,
and time was, But since then, we've had games like Guitar Hero, and then we've had games like Rock Band.
Yeah.
And you can't do that anymore. And we've had games like Wii Fit. And Wii Fit, it sets this standard of not only does the game have to be polished and easily approachable, it has to come with some sort of dangly bit of plastic.
The peripheral. Yeah.
It just
or
has
a,
to.
Or an expensive
There's got to be
scale.
One. But if they want to make Wii Music like Wii Sports, where it's not focused on one thing, but rather there's like 5 or 6 minigames in there, what the hell kind of peripheral can they pack in with
No, that's an interesting thing, because one might argue that, in fact, with the way that things have gone with Guitar Hero and Rock Band, that the space for a music game is actually something that is not a premium SKU. At this point,
no,
it's not going to be $100. It's not going to be even, $60 or $70 because of a peripheral. So that maybe they should, in fact, issue the peripheral option in this case and try and occupy a different space to the games that are already selling a ton of units at high price points and say, okay, well, this is more approachable than Guitar Hero. It's less expensive than Guitar Hero, and really reach out to a whole breadth of people that, for as many copies of Guitar Hero and Rock Band have sold, have not jumped on that train yet.
Well, let's go ahead and just assume they're going to call it Wii Music Training in Europe, because they are.
Well, I'm not going to say that's an unreasonable assumption.
What blank training games in Europe haven't come with a piece of plastic?
Well, the DS stuff, naturally.
Oh, we're not going to count the DS stuff.
Yeah, with the Wii stuff, there really hasn't been that much, I guess Mario Kart, obviously, is not named
Mario
training,
Kart Training.
That comes with a... I think you just drew that on the box with the black marker, James.
No, we're going to call that one Anger Training or Broken Game Mechanic Training.
Well, yeah. I take your point. I mean, it's very de rigueur to say, well, there's going to be something with a peripheral. There probably is. I'm just not sure whether that's the best way to position Wii Music. Now, if they conceived this idea years ago,
They're probably and they're kicking just gonna, themselves. It took so
and
long.
They're just going to follow through on it. Well, maybe it still will. But I just think you've got the Wii Remote. You know, the whole thing about the Wii Remote, lest we forget, is that it was supposed to be so versatile that it could do all these different things without crazy peripherals or different controllers.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they had that built-in modularity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I mean, it did open up the possibility as well, but I think the fact is it's not necessary to have peripherals. I mean, the peripherals that we have, I mean, the Wii Fit Board is almost more than a peripheral. It's,
yeah,
it's its own controller, it's its own system,
yeah,
almost, and it's priced kind of accordingly. But I mean, with the peripheral stuff, you know, it's not necessary, and I just don't think maybe it would be better to position this product without one and say it's affordable, but it is music, and get out to people. And of course, presumably, it's not going to be based on like a lot of, I don't know, to what extent do you think it'll be based on licensed music?
No,
I can see
it's
it. I mean,
be based on.
I could see it being something like an orchestra game.
Yeah.
Classical,
yeah,
classical
stuff that's
and
in the public
Nintendo,
domain.
Yeah,
Nintendo symphonic kind of sweet stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
more,
I think
yeah.
You're going to see a lot of public domain music.
Yeah, so, something more where you could, you know, teach your kids how to play the cello kind of thing. I could see that. You know,
dude,
something...
I've played the cello. It can't be played with the Wii Remote.
Well, you never know just how much
you
can make anything accessible, Miyamoto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He made doing gardening kind of.
I was about to make a joke about garden training.
Yeah, but
Wii gardening training.
No, he already did that.
It's Pikmin.
I mean, obviously, people make the joke that, you know, if you want to know if they've got some really top secret game, Nintendo, you just need to know what Miyamoto's current hobbies are.
Yeah.
Because we've had, you know, him, even if there is a seemingly mundane as him tracking his weight, they have apparently.
just find out his current obsession and consume a great amount of cough syrup and you'll come up with their next game. I mean, really, that's all it comes down to.
I mean, I think with a music game, I think they could easily do something like sell it, like, you know, teach your kids how to play an instrument. And just think how much that would sell.
Yeah, well, I mean, or maybe just like teaching music fundamentals or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I do struggle to see exactly how what we've seen before with the conducting and things like that is going to translate into a fully fledged game.
It's kind of a tough call there.
Yeah.
But I guess that is what we're going to find out, finally. I mean,
yeah.
it's for such a sort of seemingly quite low-key game, it seems like it's been in development for a long time.
That's what worries me about it, though. I mean,
well, I don't know whether that means that we should particularly expect it to be anything that great or
no.
Whether it was just a kind of a strategic kind of marketing thing that this was something they were always going to introduce a bit later down the road on the Wii.
Mm-hmm. Well,
once the sort of the user base had grown a bit and the kinds of people.
This game has been in development almost twice as long as Wii Fit was in development, and that includes the hardware peripheral designed for Wii Fit.
Yeah, I mean, Wii Fit was pretty brisk, actually. I mean, we did sort of hear the rumors, the sort of rumblings of Wii Health Pack or whatever a few months before that E3, but it was really, you know, all within, like, 2007.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we first started to hear about it, then we did hear about it, and then it came out in the sort of first half of this year, whereas Wii Orchestra, Wii Music, whatever, goes all the way back to that 2006. So
it's been around. It was featured actually really prominently in their 06 E3, and not so much just in, you know, them showing people playing it, but Miyamoto came out in costume for that game.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
And I think that alone should tell you that at the time, that game was important to them.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether it was just that they felt that was the right thing for the right time, in terms of it was more about, you know, that E3 was a lot about showing off the Wii Remote as it was about showing off the games.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their way of kind of introducing the Wii Remote in a kind of playful, fun way.
Yeah.
And the game itself was kind of secondary at that time. I don't know whether it denotes a particular emphasis on it developmentally, but I mean, clearly the idea has been germinating at Nintendo for some
time. Yeah, well, if it doesn't have some sort of banjo playing in it, Miyamoto clearly had nothing to do with it.
Well, I mean, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring in terms of something I think probably a little optimistic, but a familiar franchise that could fit in somewhere this year, I think, is Pikmin 3.
Yeah.
It could happen. And I'm pretty excited for the prospect in terms of I really like the first two Pikmin games, but I still don't think they've nailed it yet. They can make a Pikmin game that really hits on all the things that have been, you know, quite well fleshed out so far, but not quite fully. I mean, for instance, I think the controls would benefit a lot from the pointer, and therefore the manipulation of the Pikmin and the tasks could be handled more fluidly, and then perhaps in later stages you could require more of the player, so that would be good. But the other thing is just that, you know, in terms of, like, the first one was quite brief. I mean, obviously it was an early game.
Yeah.
And then the second one did quite a lot of padding with the randomly generated levels, which I know you're a big fan of, James. So, I mean, I didn't really have that big of a problem with them, per
they're
se.
They're not nearly Pokemon Mystery Dungeon-esque.
But I think in terms of the balance of content, I would have preferred to see it shifted a little in the direction of the overworld, the beautiful graphics that you get with that, and the sort of more organic tasks, rather than just the kind of enemy killing and treasure hoarding. So
yeah.
I think if they could get that balance right, you get the controls right, maybe even some sort of online co-op or something like that, that really is being optimistic. I'll concede that right now. All of those things, they could really nail Pikmin. But even though as good as those two games are, this time they could really do it right, and it could be wonderful.
See, I think Pikmin 2 did almost nothing for the franchise. And not just in sales-wise, but I mean, like, they didn't really make an effort to enhance the flaws of Pikmin 1. They just...
Well, what they did is they tried to pad it a bit with these randomly... Which I think was... I mean, I appreciated it in some ways. And I mean, there was parts of that that were sort of worked pretty well. But yeah, I mean, it didn't radically do anything. It was kind of just padding it out, which was good in itself, but maybe a little excessive. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think, like, it made much of an effort to, you know, enhance the property. I think it was just sort of like, this is a sequel, it's going to be a little bit longer, and you can do co-op. I think that was what, you know, that was basically they just did. You know, they couldn't just put out another Pikmin game that was just a replacement of the old levels. They had to do something. I think it was the bare minimum.
And I mean, in some ways, you get the feeling that, you know, this is kind of more of the game they might have made the first time if they'd had more time.
Yeah, not so much the sequel they had envisioned to the game.
Yeah, so this could be more of a full-on sequel. We could have more sort of maybe some more radical sort of redesigns of the Pikmin types and the kind of tasks that you can use them for and all sorts of things.
Yeah, I mean, you could have like a stage editor, maybe something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I think the thing with Pikmin is it's kind of ripe for different kinds of modes, because you did have that with Pikmin 2. You had, like, the challenge mode, the co-op, the versus. All these sorts of things could be fleshed out further, and I firmly believe this would benefit a great deal from being online from the point of view that Pikmin does not work that well in split screen unless you have some huge projector or something.
Well, can I pull out something that I originally said back on the podcast way back at the beginning of the year?
Go ahead.
Yep, sure. Go ahead.
I think we might see Pikmin, but I think they might take the Elevits 2, or however the hell you pronounce the European version of it. Either
LEDs.
LEDs. Yeah. I think it's quite possible they could take the same approach as being taken there, where Elevits didn't really have a very good showing on the Wii, so they moved its production to the DS for the sequel. With the much lower bar.
Yeah, I'm kind of skeptical they're going to do it on the DS, for reasons of, like, first of all, kind of what we talked about earlier in the show with how their attitude toward DS has been of late.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
Even though this franchise is on the table, you know, you think about, hypothetically, I mean, obviously there's various constraints for why these things haven't happened, but, you know, F-Zero had 3 GBA games. It hasn't got a single DS game.
Yeah.
You know, Metroid proper, you know, not Prime spin-offs, had 2 GBA games. It hasn't got a single DS game. And then you've got stuff like Pikmin and Smash Brothers that have never been on a handheld, but maybe could have been on this one. They haven't been either. But at this, so even with those, though, at this point, it just doesn't seem like Nintendo's particularly interested in doing that kind of major undertaking on DS.
But
does it?
I think they got kind of burned on Elebits 2. It didn't. I'm not sure they've made money on it.
Well, you want a bit of Pikmin 2?
Pikmin 2. Sorry.
Well, it did quite well in Japan, is my understanding. I think.
It
probably sold quite a bit better in Japan than perhaps Red, but it was by no means a disaster.
No, it wasn't.
In fact,
disaster.
It was probably relatively, in terms of compared with the first one, so probably a better performer than, say, Metroid Prime 2.
Well, that's not saying much.
Well, Metroid Prime 2 didn't sell disastrously either, but obviously that didn't have the Japanese market to prop it up.
Yeah.
So that's where that one kind of really needed to perform very robustly in the West, and it didn't quite do that. Whereas Pikmin 2 was quite a success in Japan, as my understanding goes, and that's why I think it's perfectly viable for a third game on Wii, and I think the potential's there, but I really would urge them to get something done with online, because I think it could, that could, the co-op element could really take on an interesting dimension there, because you wouldn't be constrained by split screen, and God forbid they introduce voice chat, which would have in a second.
Suck my Pikmin.
God.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but obviously it would be, you know, with co-op, it's very much, you're not playing with 15 other random people, you're playing with a friend.
Yeah.
That
named,
you know.
Named Godfrey
Wang. That's where those constraints... that's where those constraints that they've set up with the online infrastructure actually make sense.
Yeah.
It's like, well, obviously, you want, if you're going to be, you know, in dialogue with somebody, co-op Pikmin, you would want somebody to be a known, you know, somebody you know, and that could work. So hopefully they will do that. I rather suspect they won't. The likelihood of getting just a Pikmin 3 with Wii controls is far greater than something a bit more ambitious.
Oh, I do have one pretty good idea of what they've got planned for a Wii unveiling.
Okay, let's hear it.
Super Mario Sluggers will be playable and ready, and you know it'll be pretty close to release. Whatever the hell.
I'm sorry, are you gonna drop any other massive predictions?
No, the prediction.
They're gonna have self-congratulatory.
Look, the prediction is coming after
charts,
this.
Maybe?
That wasn't the prediction. That was sort of the preface to the prediction.
Go on.
And their next Mario Sports game will be unveiled, but not playable. It'll be in their, one of those little teaser videos.
So they'll hint a bit like Mario Kart last year.
Right, like, it'll be something like Mario Basketball or something like that.
Yeah, they did that on the DS, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Mario Square Enix
actually
developed and
that.
Mario Basketball's never actually made its way to a console, with the exception of their appearance in NBA Street, which was highly unnerving to play.
Yeah, see, I think they could they could easily make a very cool football game if they wanted to.
See, I don't think they would.
Haven't done it yet.
Football is getting more popular in Japan.
Yeah,
and it is somewhat. Has a market in Europe, so they could do it.
Uh-huh.
Well, and I guess about the main thing would just be, I mean, at the end of the day, football has, you know, a legacy in video games. Yeah, people know about football video games a lot.
Oh,
so
wait, I'm ready to revise my prediction. Where Mario Sluggers is sort of the taking of Wii Sports Baseball, they're going to make another Mario Tennis game that'll be an evolution of Wii Sports Tennis.
Well, that could be interesting. Yeah. I don't know, because obviously Camelot, who developed the Mario Tennis,
we love golf
games, on N64. They're not currently sort of in bed with Nintendo previously.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that leaves them. Presumably, if Nintendo was so inclined, they'd just get somebody else to do it. I'm sure I wouldn't be a particular. I mean, these just Sluggers is kind of the sort of that's come out in Japan now. And this, I guess we'll get to see more of it at E3. But the early indications are that for all this talk about it being a bridge game, in that it would actually be more complicated than Wii Sports Baseball. And it is in quite a few ways. But in terms of the actual swinging mechanics, apparently they're basically less nuanced. Then in fact, it hasn't got that same kind of analog dimension to, you know, how quickly you swing it is how sort of quickly you swing the bat on screen. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that really it's just a case of it's a more kind of digital, kind of discrete element in terms of you sort of hold it back to charge a swing and then you do a swing, which is kind of like doing a button press. So that is immensely disappointing.
That is.
Yeah, I think they sort of screwed the pooch on that.
Yeah.
Not that Mario Sluggers was ever going to be
something
I was greatly looking forward to or in any likelihood purchasing. Yeah. But just in terms of the mindset, the paradigm, that you know what you want from these sports games or Wii is that nuance and that sort of, you know, that satisfying feeling of being involved in it to a much greater extent than you get from just pushing a button or a combination there.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing about Wii Sports is the fact that when you were holding that bat, it actually felt like you were holding the bat in real time. And when you swing the bat, you can actually control where the ball is going. I mean, it's so simple, but it's beautiful.
Exactly. And that's the promise. What you want is that applied further, whereas this seems like it's more of a step back.
Well, even if they just used the same batting mechanics, if they just put in some fielding mechanics, it would be a bridge game. Mm-hmm. If they just left the batting and pitching alone, it would be.
But instead, it seems like what they've done is they've stuck closer to the bones of the GameCube game. Mm-hmm. Which I find rather disappointing, but I guess the point, well, Sluggers we know about, is good, but the point is if we are going to have other Mario sports games, or just other sports games from Nintendo, which is perfectly feasible.
They're going to be those bridge games.
Are they going to be like that? Are they going to be that they're not delivering on the potential that Wii Sports actually hinted at?
I don't think so. I think that game was a special case because it did begin its life on the GameCube and got relatively close to release.
It was released on the GameCube.
Oh, okay, sorry. It was,
but it's still a similar thing in terms of like they did a similar thing, but in a tighter timeline with Mario Strikers.
Yeah,
you know, that was a GameCube game, and then very quickly it's like, well, it did kind of okay on GameCube, but now we can just quickly turn it around into a Wii game, and then it'll do even better.
Right, you
know, it's almost like getting your money on the DVD release if it's a theatrical film.
Yeah.
You know, but you're sort of packaging it as a different game.
Well, wasn't Slugger?
So maybe
I was mistaken. Wasn't Slugger's kind of built on the bones of that of that Nintendo baseball game that got killed?
No. It would be the Family Stadium, the Mario Family Stadium.
Oh, okay.
Superstar Baseball.
Yeah.
I think it was known as in America.
Okay, well, so I could very.
It is very. So I mean, visually, it's not that different. All those sorts of things. But so I mean, yeah. I mean, if they were doing a football game, what John's talking about, that would be completely original.
I see. I think even if they just built a game based on the tennis engine from Wii Tennis and just Wii Fit Tennis and just gave you control over your position on the court,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they'd be inclined to reuse what was built for the GameCube tennis game because A, it's old as hell, and B, the company that made it is busy making terrible, terrible, terrible anime golf games.
Do we know it's terrible? Yeah, it's not out in America.
Oh, no, it's gotten some pretty shitty reviews.
Yeah.
I think it's got some decent reviews that I've seen as well. So it's kind of mixed. I think it's not... I don't think it's up there with Pangea.
They worked with the company that made the PC Pyonga game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes.
Well, so maybe more Mario Sports. That's pretty feasible.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? What about familiar franchises? F-Zero, Star Fox,
no,
Metroid?
You know, I told you that I don't think Factor 5 is working on Kid Icarus. But I do think they are working on another series that hasn't seen the light of day in 15-some-odd years.
Go on, then.
I'm intrigued.
Pilot Wings,
yes.
Huh.
Yes. So, Pilot Wings is obviously a natural match with the flying.
And not only that, it fits in with what they're saying. It is a fairly accessible series. It could use the pointer functionality pretty extensively for control and stuff. And I think, you know, and they could, and he also said that their game will have better visuals than anything that's come out on the Wii so far. You could do that in Pilot Wings and not... Well, look, we're not going to even discuss the Ubies of the world. We're just going to say he did claim that his game was going to have good visuals, and you could do good visuals in a Pilot Wings game.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure whatever they're working on will look good. I mean,
it might play like shit.
We don't know. I mean, Pilot Wings, be it by Factor 5 or not, is on the table, I think. I think we could agree on that. You know,
yeah.
Definitely could be given a new lease of life, and it's been quite a while. It's been since the launch of the N64 in 96. But it's not. I don't think it's as entirely sort of oblique and just gone as Kid Icarus, you know. So it's got more of a pertinent legacy to build on.
But not much of one. I mean, for God's sakes, it came out as the only other launch game on the N64, and everyone else bought Mario.
I think there was a Mahjong game in Japan.
Oh, okay. Japan gets three games.
We don't want to gloss over that particular gem.
Oh, good. A game that is remembered by existing.
Pilot Wings 64 is a good game.
Yes.
I think it's got intriguing control, you know, sort of... applications on Wii, it's a possibility. What about Star Fox?
No,
I mean that against shooting with the pointer, moving the actual R wing with the nunchuck.
Well, I think they could make a Star Fox game using only the Wii remote. They could probably
do it. I mean, I personally would probably prefer if it did have that sort of almost Sin and Punishment-y sort of separation of you controlling the R-Wing with the analog stick and then controlling the aim of the R-Wing's weaponry with the pointer. I think that could be quite exciting, but I don't know whether they feel that would be too complicated
for
the audience they'd go with.
Who developed the DS game?
That was Q Games, Dylan Cuthbert's outfit.
Yes, and didn't they intimate quite heavily they're working on that?
Well, they've been hints, but and the one thing we know quite strongly is they are working on some sort of DS game with Nintendo. They've pretty much said as much, that there's a DS game in the works that they're partnering with Nintendo on now, whether that's got anything to do with Star
Fox. I thought they also had a Wii game in the works.
They may well have a Wii game in the works, whether that's whether they're partnering with Nintendo so much, and therefore whether they would be the stewards of a Nintendo franchise in that scenario, we haven't had specific information of.
See, I think Nintendo at this point, after the disasters that have been the Star Fox since the N64 days, we're happy that Q Games just didn't fuck it up. And I think that might be it.
Well,
it was
a good game. I think it was kind of it certainly wasn't the kind of fudge that we've seen out of the few previous Star Fox games. You know, we very much knew what it wanted to do and it did it. I mean, it was almost perhaps a little too kind of one-dimensional.
Well, yeah, it was very closely tied to Star Fox 2.
Yeah, it was quite too closely tied.
Which makes sense, since it was a lot of the same developers.
Well, yeah, Cuthbert obviously worked on that as well before, even though it never saw the light of day. But that would be encouraging. I mean, another issue, we know Treasure are working on two Wii games.
Yes.
They could be a very suitable sort of subcontractor to shepherd a Star Fox game.
See, I think they're more likely to produce. You know, I originally said they're never going to make sequels, but now that I know that they are, there is a Sin and Punishment 2 in development.
Well, or it could just be the spiritual successor, like Ikaruga to Radiant Silver Gun.
Yeah,
either way.
I mean, the
Sin and Punishment brand, Brawl notwithstanding, doesn't tend to resonate a great deal with people.
Just the name, not so much the branding. The name has sort of like this cult attachment to it.
Well,
you should import this game.
The thing is, that game would get so much buzz just off of, the cult following that, the original Sin and Punishment got. I mean, anything like that is going to develop a huge cult following. So it would be I would love to see that game come out, because I would like to see how the Wii audience would actually react to it.
Yeah, I mean, it is very, very interesting how that would be handled. I mean, there's so much potential for how well it could be realized on Wii.
Yeah.
It could just be, in many ways, we feel like the game they were trying to make on N64, because the analog stick and the C buttons and all
that,
as good as that game was, they were struggling to get you to move around and get that intensity that they wanted.
Yeah.
On Wii, they could make it, similar sort of thing with the graphics, not necessarily spellbindingly detailed, but they're clean and they're fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the controls would be fluid, and then you could just blow people away.
Well, what if, we haven't talked about this, but what if Treasure's working on WiiWare titles?
That's possible. I mean, we've heard about two. We've talked about two Wii projects that's been talked about. One could be a disc-based, and one on WiiWare.
Because I could see them putting together, a short project and releasing it on WiiWare.
Absolutely. I mean, that seems to be
their
MO. Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the way they trend now. Is they like to do these kind of. They almost favor doing smaller projects on kind of this sort of subpar hardware. They almost embrace that, so I could completely see them doing a WiiWare title and announcing it.
Well, it brings us on to something interesting in terms of WiiWare in general. Now, WiiWare has been going for the last couple of months, but we really haven't seen a whole lot from Nintendo, personally. We've had Dr. Mario, My Pokemon Rants. They're quite derivative games, really. Obviously, Pokemon is a resource management tool.
It's an awful, awful piece of software.
Yeah, I think most people would agree on that, and it may have certain usefulness to people. But Dr. Mario is kind of a repackaging of like Dr. Mario 64 and what was in Brain Age.
Yeah.
So that's what will we see at E3? We know about Mega Man coming from Capcom, stuff like that. Will we see original Nintendo games for WiiWare using big name brands or not?
Well, here's the thing. Have we ever gotten confirmation that the Wario Land game was a disc based game?
Absolutely.
Okay, because the first news that came out was it was a WiiWare title. And
well, the first news was just ambiguous.
Yeah.
But it was quite clear soon after that
it
would be retail. And it is. And that is interesting in itself. I guess some of that is maybe the memory constraints because they're having these animated cutscenes. As well,
I don't know.
They wouldn't fit in very well, I guess. Like these little cartoon vignettes,
perhaps
on 40 megabytes or whatever.
It's what 60 is the size of that Kokuto fishing.
Oh, dear.
I got one more. Kokuto Magical Mystery Hotel coming to the league.
So what you're saying, so Wario is the kind of game we might have thought we'd see on WiiWare, but we're not.
Right.
Will we see others like, will we get, I mean, you could have your Mario side-scroller, 2D Metroid.
That would all come out on the DS.
Lots of different, well, would it in the current climate? I don't know. Probably more
likely than not. Look, they could charge $40 for a DS game now. That's been established. That is the theoretical maximum of a DS game.
Well, the question is, will we see anything, not necessarily quite that high line, but anything along those kinds of lines, or will Nintendo continue to take a backseat and let, you know, you've got Capcoms with their, you know, Mega Man 9s and things like that.
I think
that.
Mega Man 9 is quite the fluke in terms of WiiWare. I don't think we're going to see any other WiiWare games that high profile come out on WiiWare.
I don't know.
I think that will be the high water mark for the WiiWare program.
I mean, they could very well, you know, release a Metroid game on WiiWare.
See, I don't think they would, though. I think they'd put it out on the DS where they could charge $37.99 for it versus, you know, $15.
It depends, though. I mean, obviously, Mega Man 9 gives us a window into an intriguing new path for developers in that you can say the thing about a downloadable game is that we can sort of legitimately strip down the development cost to a nub. Mm-hmm.
But see, that's Capcom's MO. They're constantly looking for ways to make games as cheap as possible.
Be that as it may, the fact of the matter is that you could not get away with packaging that game Mega Man 9 in today's climate as a retail release.
No, you couldn't.
So if you wanted to make a retail release Mega Man that was like the old style, you'd have to spend the money to develop the game so that it looks like it should be a retail release, and all the important stuff, like the design of the game and all that, is getting lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
With something like WiiWare, if you say, well, actually, because let's say, for instance, John's idea about a Metroid game, you could go, basically, it looks exactly like Super Metroid. So, graphics-wise, we're investing almost nothing.
Yeah. See, I think they
but
could. I
we,
think
we're
they...
looking strictly at the design stuff and all that. Now, obviously, you could do that on DS.
Yeah.
Much more so than you could do an 8-bit Mega Man.
That's what I was thinking.
But it could still. They still may be able to say, you know, we can do this in such a way that, you know, the WiiWare platform is just suitable for, like, we're going to have very limited kind of development sort of resources into it. But then we could sell it at a lower price and hopefully get some more money out of it. I mean, my personal opinion is Nintendo are going to wait and see the uptake on WiiWare.
Yeah.
And if it starts to sort of gather steam, maybe they'll start directing some more of their creative talent, if not financial resources, to WiiWare. But the problem with that is if they do sit on the sidelines, will it ever actually gain steam in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's interesting. I think one of the things that Nintendo could also possibly do is, why not put out the next 2D Mario game on WiiWare?
It's an interesting thing, because the one thing that we've got this thing now is that, you know, are they that concerned about releasing another one on DS when the original continues to sell?
Yeah.
And maybe they say, well, let's, you know, fair enough, that's kind of covered.
But
let's do something different.
But wouldn't just as much cannibalize the sales anyway, especially if it costs less?
Well, I mean, the cool...
But it is a different market,
isn't it?
I mean, you know, people who have a Wii... This WiiWare market... I mean, this is why I think the Mega Man 9 is very clever, because there's such an overlap between the virtual console market and the WiiWare market. You know, they're playing directly to the market they want to get at. They're stripping down the development costs so that even they could sell it at a low price but still get their money back. It's very clever. It's very functional.
It's not just fanboy
wet dream. It is actually business-wise thoroughly rational.
Well, one of the cool things that you could possibly have is you could kind of have, you know, how some people, there's like in the Nintendo, you know, kind of homebrew community. I mean, you have people taking these old NES games, you know, mucking around with the code and essentially making their own new game. Well, what you could have is those kind of homebrew games actually made by Capcom. You know, they could, you know, they could do what they're doing already. I mean, like Nintendo could go back and you know, just milk older franchises and just continue the 8-bit versions.
Well, I think it's possible. I mean, I don't know whether Nintendo are so much sort of enamored with some of their 8-bit stuff. I mean, certainly, I mean, you have Konami with their, some of their properties, you know, maybe they've already done it once a bit with Contra 4, more Contra, more Castlevania, maybe, you know, sort of something in the style of Castlevania 3, which is another much beloved game of yore, if you will. I mean, I think there's potential for this. Whether Nintendo will want to get into it or not, I don't know. And I just think it's very interesting that you've got this prong of Wii, you know, this prong of the Wii strategy, and Nintendo is so hands-off with it.
Yeah.
You know, that they've just, well, okay, there's a game called Mario on it. Well, it's not called Mario. It's got Mario in its name.
Yes.
There's a game with Pokemon in the name. That is the extent to which they have applied themselves to Wii.
Oh, wait. Could we, in theory, get a game with downloadable content from Nintendo?
Well, yeah, this is the interesting part, isn't it? I mean, we've got to ask ourselves, will Nintendo actually address some of these issues like storage?
Yeah.
Because we've already heard that the Guitar Hero World Tour, which is going to be the sort of Rock Band style Guitar Hero 4, if you want to call it that, is going to have downloadable content on Wii that's somehow going to be...
Hell or high water, like, is essentially what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's probably going to be SD card, like it is going to read off the SD card, that's they've somehow come to some sort of accommodation where Nintendo feels comfortable with letting people actually use the slot on there for something quite meaningful. Mm-hmm. And I guess the question is, how widely will this be applied elsewhere, if this is indeed correct? Do you see them opening it up to other third parties and indeed exploiting it themselves very heavily? Perhaps for something like Animal Crossing, which has already been linked with the pay-and-play downloadable content model.
Well, I mean, that's why I would really like to see something that's Nintendo-endorsed, because you know how these development houses are with anything like that. If they develop it, they look at it like, why should I give this to anybody else? Because I could
this
keep it.
This is mine.
Yeah,
stay away.
This is mine. Stay away. We basically put our money down to make this, so we should make money off of it. So why should we just give it away to everybody else?
We run into what would even be an even worse situation with the Guitar Hero controllers.
That's exactly it. I mean, it's like that with Rock Band and Guitar Hero. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it would be even worse, because now it's not just two companies bickering over hardware. It could be literally every company who wants to do DLC on the Nintendo bringing their own hardware, or maybe even working together in some...
it is interesting because, you know, obviously Nintendo is always very concerned with security issues and piracy and all this sort of stuff, but the fact of the matter is, it seems to me like the success of Guitar Hero on Wii, the desire of probably Vicarious Visions mainly, and presumably Activision as well, to get DLC on Wii for the next version, Nintendo have basically found an accommodation that their security concerns are somewhat covered, but they're going to let them do this. And I think once that genie's out of the bottle, it doesn't go back.
They've got to do something.
Nintendo should be taking advantage of it, and you know, all the other third parties that really wish to exploit it should as well. I don't think we'll see this particularly played up a lot.
No.
I mean, but it will kind of seep out behind the scenes, perhaps, that this space... Especially if, you know, Animal Crossing is going to be the flagship for pay and play.
Yeah, I mean...
Which is kind of... There's going to be all this downloadable content for Animal Crossing that you'll need to save somewhere.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I mean, I could see this being solved in some sort of, update to the Wii. You know, not. It's not. It's not going to be
hard drive or peripheral
or something like that. It could be something where, you know, they'll update the firmware on the Wii such that it allows you much more access to the SD card and possibly faster reading of the SD card.
You could just read things off it.
That's doing something. Nintendo has to do something. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, all they do, and I think that is probably what is happening here. And as I say, I don't see how it could possibly only be confined to Guitar Hero.
Well, see, my concern is that Nintendo doesn't do something, and we do end up with, like, multiple congregations of development houses who each, maybe in like, Congress with other development houses make their own solution.
I mean, anything like this where you're talking about something that presumably is... This restriction on reading stuff on the SD card, as has been articulated on this podcast by Johnny and plenty of other people over the time that the Wii's been out, is an artificial restriction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Presumably created by Nintendo for their own reasons. And therefore, if somebody's going to circumvent that, they're going to have to do it in concert with Nintendo.
Yeah. Or they're going to piss Nintendo off big time.
Yeah, so clearly, if this is indeed the case with Guitar Hero World Tour, it is with Nintendo's blessing, presumably because of the commercial force that is Guitar Hero. You know, that this is the thing that's really brought it to a point where Nintendo's willing to say, you know what, yeah, let's let it happen. Well, and then once that happens, it's hopefully will be applied across the board. Well, and we could start to see some of the benefits of that in lots of other games.
Well, what if, let's say that Nintendo's just decide, I mean, I'm not Nintendo, the developers of Rock Band have just decided they're going to pull an EA, like EA's done with their online component, and just completely forego Nintendo system, and has somehow managed to backdoor into the SD card.
I don't know what to what extent, you know, they need Nintendo's cooperation or authorization on those sorts of things.
But could that really...
And I mean, with the EA Nation thing, I mean, I guess ultimately, you know, that is very much, you know, at their discretion how they set up their own online structure. Mm-hmm. I mean...
But couldn't
I don't see how Nintendo has the same kinds of, you know, because it's not so much a hardware issue, you know, it's they don't have quite the same kind of oversight in that area.
But couldn't we be looking at kind of a weird rundown where the two are sort of kind of at loggerheads with each other, where if Nintendo has locked down the SD card and maybe they found a way to get in?
I really don't see it that way. I just think they've come to a point now where they see the upside of loosening.
Clearly they don't, because they haven't done anything yet.
But I think this is where Guitar Hero is going to have DLC. We unless they're going to totally do a U-turn on that, it's going to have it. And if it's going to have it, this is probably how it's going to work. So I think we'll probably get confirmation of that.
See how I I should point out how I, from reading the comments about DLC, understood it was, because they made a very specific notice about how you're going to have to walk through said screens to get to your DLC. My thought was that it's going to store on your SD card, fine. And then when you want to play a game, you're going to have to go manually select it from a menu inside of Guitar Hero. It pulls it out and drops it into memory and holds it during that playthrough. Not that you're going to be able to just play all the games in your card like they're on your system.
Well, it depends how swiftly that process takes place. I mean, if they can find a way to, like I said, this is what I'm talking about with an accommodation.
Yeah.
You know, if they can find it in such a way that it does all these sorts of things, it has to do a sort of circuitous route, but ultimately it is swift and it's playable and it doesn't really make a difference to the consumer, then so be it.
Yeah, but if that's what they're doing, that's not a solution.
It's not the solution, the broad solution that we'd hope for, no. I mean, this is what we got. It's clear to me there is going to be some sort of solution, accommodation, whatever, apparent to E3 related to Rock Band. And how broad it is, how wide-ranging its implications are, I guess we'll get a better idea of. Well, another issue that a lot of us, you know, have talked about before is voice chat. Now, Reggie, at a conference call back in the winter, was strongly hinting that they were preparing some sort of peripheral. That was something they were looking at that would handle voice chat. Since then, we've had Smash Brothers and Mario Kart come out with no voice chat to be seen. So are we going to get it now? What's going to push it over the top to actually make it apparently feasible for Nintendo to do this now?
I'm incredibly cynical about that.
Yeah, I think everybody is. It's just not like them to do this.
Yeah, it's just really not.
They've been so stuck in their ways regarding this that to say that they're going to suddenly turn the ship around, it's not like them. They don't bend to that kind of pressure because they're
completely
insane.
It's interesting. I mean, because obviously they have not resolutely avoided voice chat at all turns, because we've had Metroid Prime Hunters, we've had Pokemon Diamond and Pearl.
See, those two games never made any sense to me. Why them?
Yeah.
Why those two?
Well, I mean, to be fair, it kind of makes sense with Pokemon in terms of it probably, you know, spruces it up rather than just watching the animations play out in silence. You know, you can talk trash or whatever.
Yeah, my Pokemon going to pwn your Pokemon, bitch.
Yeah. Anything, you know, that it does make a certain amount of sense. And, you know, Pokemon's got to be one of the most sensitive brands in that area as well. But, you know, as long as they had the friend code in place, they were quite happy with it. So I really don't see why they've been so reticent to do this on Wii. It is very curious to me. I mean, one theory would be that maybe something like Animal Crossing could push us over the edge, that could be the sort of the domino that kicks in and finally gets them to do this. And they have hinted at it in the past, which normally when they hint at something, you know, that there is some kernel of substance in it. But so you're basically both saying no dice.
Well,
this
I think what I doubt it, but I think what may have happened here is that Nintendo was focusing on just, you know, getting their, since this was their first real stab at you know, online gaming on such a massive scale, they may have been focusing on just getting their network going and kind of not really worrying so much about the whole bells and whistles thing, which means that they may just not have had the code ready for Brawl or for Mario Kart Wii, and that, you know, something down the line may actually be voice chat enabled.
But see, I've built a voice chat system. It's not hard. If you have the network code going already, which they didn't obviously in Brawl, but they did in Mario Kart,
yeah,
it's not particularly hard to build on top of to put voice into it. I mean, it's really just another piece of packet information, and you just have to encode it and fire it off. It's not that difficult.
Well, I mean, for crying out loud, they had DS voice chat, you know, running at an E3 long ago. Was that 2003 or something? A long time ago.
Yeah. It's not hard, so I think this has been more of a deliberate decision on their part, not so much like...
Yeah, I mean, it could be that they want the right vehicle for it.
Yeah.
That, you know, it itself could be an element of, you know, it's going to be packaged with a certain game, or they're going to try and float it in a certain way, and maybe, you know, try and get a broader uptake than just the people that want to talk to each other while playing an FPS or Smash Brothers or whatever. So I don't know whether that's if there's a strategic element involved, because as I said, it would make more sense if they had completely uniformly avoided voice chat. But if you can put it in a Pokemon game, which is probably their most sensitive brand in terms of its, you know, its association with children and you know their interactions with each other, I don't really see the hard barrier to putting it in. And then one has to ask himself at some point, can't they make money off this? They can make a white headset and sell it to us. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the whole point of this, is that really none of us really understand why they aren't doing it. I mean, it just really doesn't make any sense.
I think, though, at the same time, we're coming at it from a different, a different modicum and perspective than most of the ideal fans they've got are, you know, we are their hardcore gamers, except for Linda.
I'm a serious gamer, sorry man.
And so you can't talk about this, but I think that we've gained a certain acceptance of voice chat in games because it's been in the PC for so long. But I think that, you know, Nintendo's more mainstream market doesn't have that same expectation that we've got.
Well, the
well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's their plan, is to actually, it's sort of introduce the mainstream market to the idea of a game on Wii where it's a lot about communicating online, and that's going to be their sort of Trojan horse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also never
an Animal Crossing, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, the thing is, though,
could that be?
You can't forget that you have to understand with Nintendo, they will never, ever do anything if they can't make money off of it. So why are they going to even waste money putting voice chat into any of their games, implementing voice chat anywhere, if it's not going to make them any money? Because
and that's the thing. I mean, if you have the situation where they launch the headset and all that as kind of a part of packaging it with a game and making more money off that game, you then could get sort of positive externalities that then that opens the door for voice chat in other games. But the real reason we got it in the first place is you had it as a commercial vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, that's what people, I think, tend to forget. I mean, Nintendo is not Microsoft. They're not Sony. They don't do stuff just because it's the coolest, newest, most cutting-edge stuff on the block.
They have to be commercially compelled to do things very frequently. I mean, perhaps not universally, but very frequently that's how they like to do things. Well, I think we've discussed Nintendo plenty enough just for now in terms of as a first-party publisher on Wii. Let's get to the frequently debated quality of third-party support for Wii and what we're going to expect from them this E3. Now, obviously, at this point, Wii's success, 18 or so months plus into its life, has been pretty astonishing. It's been at the top of the NPD hardwares almost universally, apart from when it was narrowly edged out by the Xbox 360 and the Halo month. And is this the year that we're going to finally see some of these third parties actually realize that, you know, this is the top selling thing and they've got, you know, they've shifted development resources to Wii?
No.
Or is it going to prove that in fact that, you know, they're not interested in selling games on Wii because they think Nintendo's got it all locked up and the user base isn't interested in buying that many games and they're going to continue with feeder games and lesser properties? John, kind of sense where you're going.
Yeah, well, I mean, it always scares me to the degree which third parties always make casual games for the Wii, or really don't even really seem to view the Wii as a vehicle for anything more than party games and stuff like that. So, I mean,
what about the kind of derivative game? Well, not derivative is probably the wrong word, but these weird spin-offs like the Soul Calibur Legends and the Castlevania, the Judgment, the fighting game, where, you know,
doesn't that do
they're trying to sell off a brand that only core gamers are going to really identify with. But at the same time, they're not actually giving those core gamers a game they want to buy.
Yeah.
What is that
and
about?
They're dumbing it down, too. I mean, that's, you hit the nail on the head.
It's beyond the point where it just reaches this kind of odd dichotomy of, like, they don't really know what the hell to do on the Wii anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's
that is absolutely true. I mean, you know, there's an element of third parties got caught with their pants down. They didn't expect it to do this well. And they've been scrambling a bit.
Yeah.
Now, that's the kind of the core of the question. Are they going to be? Is there going to be an indication, or in some cases at least, that they're getting their act together? And whatever the games are going to be, they're at least going to be more clearly defined, cohesive kind of projects that work on Wii. Or are they going to be more? Is there going to be? You know, we've already seen Castlevania Judgment. Is there going to be more of that?
Well, I mean, I think you can almost break it down on a you know, company by company basis. I mean, I expect to see something cool from Capcom. Do I expect to see something cool from Ubisoft? Hell no.
No, you will
no,
never
well,
see something.
Well, they've
cool
kind of made that. They've kind of, unless they've got something rather unexpected.
They've made
sleeve,
no,
they've,
no.
They've
made
nailed
their
colors to the mast.
We
know their intentions.
They have made their bed completely out of shit.
Yeah, I mean,
and now they're sleeping.
I mean, it certainly seems like
we have the ding sound again.
It will have zzz at the end. Ubisoft will announce three games at Ubisoft. They will all have zzz in the title, and they will all be shovelware.
Well, I mean, it certainly seems that some companies kind of have a grasp on developing for the Wii. And actually, I mean, again, I have to come back to Capcom. I mean, they're the only company, really, the only third party out there. I mean, also, you know, Konami as well, but some of their stuff is just pretty off the wall, but
yeah, I mean, Konami's interesting. So obviously, they're well with Pro Evo.
Yeah,
not so well with this Castlevania thing in terms of conceptual. It seems to be iffy. It could still be a good game. It could still be a commercial success. But we'll see. Obviously, they had Elebits at the beginning, which was apparently quite a good game. Didn't sell that well. Then you had Dewey's Adventure, which apparently was not quite so good a game and even less of a commercial success, as I understand. So are they going to continue in that vein with the sort of skewing younger IPs, you think, or are they going to try something different?
That's the thing. I think at this point, I think they'll probably go for the younger demographics. I mean, that's the thing.
Is there anything they can do at this point to crack? You know, they clearly haven't managed to crack.
I don't know.
I just get
the sense that developers feel that making, in particular, original IPs aimed at older audiences on the Wii, I get the feeling that most development houses really feel like that's pretty hazardous. Like they're really going out on a limb.
Well, of course. I mean, we've got one prominent example of that I expect to see E3 in some form, I suppose, is Mad World from Platinum Games.
Yeah.
The old Clover guys. That's going to be interesting. I mean, it's going to have a lot of buzz. We know that.
Yeah.
For certain. I mean, just you know, obviously the gaming media is probably going to be quite fond of it because of, you know, who it's made by, the art style, the intent, and I think people just looking at the media are going to find it very striking. But the question is it going to be able to succeed on the platform? And the platform now is big. I mean, there's no, the user base is so big that for all we could talk about how, you know, that all these casual games are selling and this, that and the other, and people are just buying it for Wii Sports, fact of the matter is, you know, you've got stuff like Mario Kart Wii is selling much better than Mario Kart Double Dash did. Yeah, Galaxy selling better than Sunshine, although not by the same kind of markup as in that case, I don't think. Yeah, Brawl even is selling better than Melee, which sold very well in the first place. So clearly they are bringing in more of these people that like some kinds of game, you know, sort of more traditional games. The question is, can you get those same people to buy Mad World?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think that the install base is meaningless when you know that people won't buy your game, if that makes any sense. I mean,
yeah, if ultimately they are not actually potential consumers because of who they are, then you could care less about them whether they own a Wii or not. It may as well be a white paperweight in the room if they're never going to buy your game. But the question is that the case? Is it true that you just can't penetrate? I mean, Resident Evil 4 Wii Edition sold pretty well.
Yes, it did.
And we are talking about a budget price.
But I think that also sold to existing fans, though. I mean, I don't think that people that are buying...
Well, it did, but if you've got enough Wii owners that are fans of Resident Evil 4 or the Resident Evil franchise in general, are willing to buy a port of that game, you know, buy it again... Wouldn't they be willing to buy an original game that they think looks really good that appeals to them?
Logically, you would assume so, but I have to say, the people that bought that particular game were probably the first people that snatched up a Wii, so they're the early adopters, anyways, that already knew it from the GameCube days. And the people that are buying the Wii now are not looking for that. They're looking for Wii Fit, and they're looking for maybe even Mario Kart Wii.
Well, that may be true, but are not those people that bought it early still looking for games? Because these are the people that
looking for
it
games.
Early, and they continue to buy games.
I think the Resident Evil 4 example is a bit of a red herring, because, I mean, just on the trip I was on this weekend, you know, the person I was staying with, on her floor were both copies of the game. And every person I know, you know, just from hanging out who owns a Wii that bought RE4 for the Wii at one point, or still does, owned RE4 for the GameCube. I think that in that case, you have to look at the fact that there was a brand, and that particular brand, it was actually...
In terms of the brand, it's very pertinent, because Umbrella Chronicles, which is a very different kind of game, but it has the same brand, did actually sell pretty damn well as well.
Yeah.
So this brings us to something else, something like not as widely recognised a game in terms of the brand, but Fatal Frame is coming to the Wii. I think it's going to be out in Japan by the end of this month.
It does look gorgeous.
So presumably we're going to see plenty of that at E3, because the game must be pretty much finished, and then we'll see some sort of early localised form of it at E3. And that's again, it's got the brand recognition, and of course what's interesting with it is Nintendo are actually actively partnering in the distribution of the game. So is that possibly the future for selling these more core gamer, mature skewed games of Wii? Is that you have a brand and you get Nintendo involved, and they can get to those people, those early adopter people that played stuff like Resident Evil 4 on the GameCube, that bought it again on the Wii, and now they're going to buy these kinds of games here, and third parties can actually get a foothold with the Wii user base, or a part of it.
James?
Yeah? What? Sorry.
Do you think we could see more of that, the Fatal Frame sort of partnership, that could be one way that the third parties could get in with the user base?
See, I think Fatal Frame is a very specific game, because I think it was uniquely suited to the Wii's controls. I mean, for those who aren't aware...
But to be fair, if we're talking about brands, you know, more than the actual games themselves, like the Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles, you could take a recognised brand outside, do something a bit different that's more Wii-specific, rather than... And we're not talking silly fighting games or anything like that.
Or
that
silly
really,
adventure games from fighting games.
Yeah, or silly brawler games like Legends of War. But something that really takes advantage of what the Wii's good at. And you've got the brand
like a Mario light gun.
Well, no, I'm on about a recognised brand that the third party would have in their locker.
I know,
somewhere.
I was trying
like
to make an absurd
like
example. How about a Kokuto light gun?
But, you know, it's something like that, and that's going to be their way of... Because it seems like if you're going to get the core gamers, what there are of them that own Wiis, that buy Wii games, that may even depend on Wii games to some extent, what you have to do is get something that resonates with them. And that's going to be an existing brand, whereas maybe something like Mad World, is that going to struggle because it's not an existing brand?
I think
brand?
It definitely will struggle. Mm. I mean... We know, I mean, even with games like Okami, I mean, it doesn't matter if the reviews are great across the board, you know, Zach and Wiki. If those games, they just don't seem to sell. I mean, they sell to the hardcore few that actually, you know, keep up with stuff online and know what the good games are that are coming out. But I don't know, I just think those games that don't have that kind of brand name that, you know, that casual people... Yeah. That maybe like, hey, my buddy played, you know, such and such a game, and this one has the same brand, so I'll pick it up. If without that kind of hook.
Yeah, I mean, and I think one of the other problems that with these games that lack brands is that they don't have the obvious marketing pitch. I mean, because some of it is that the thing about brands is it makes the marketing easy. The thing that we've seen with Zack and Wiki, Boom Blocks and others is that when they don't know how to market these games, they sink to some extent. That's the big problem. If you don't have that hook of a brand or something, that's when you get in trouble. And I think that clearly is what the third parties have got to struggle with, because you do need something to shout loud and clear above the throng of, you know, Nintendo first party software on the one hand, the load of shovelware, terrible stuff on the other. Something's got to really grab people's attention and say, this is going to be worth playing because of this. And
what is it going to take?
I think one of the big flaws about the Wii as a platform is the fact that I think it's very, very hard to market for when compared to the 360 and the PS3, simply because the way that you would market to people, you can't really do it in the same way. And I don't think that anybody outside of maybe Nintendo has really grasped. And I mean, even with some of Nintendo's own titles like Metroid Prime 3, they couldn't market that either. So I think it's really hard to kind of get across.
Yeah, good point.
You know, exactly why people should should buy this game. I mean, with the 360 and PS3, it's very easy. Oh, you know, you buy this year's Madden because the graphics are better. Look at these beautiful screenshots. You know, send out some screenshots. It's very easy. But when that's not the
draw. Yeah, and indeed, they know who they're marketing to.
Yeah.
They know exactly who they're to. They know their audience, and they know how to communicate with them. On Wii, it's less well-defined, and they've been struggling with that. But I think, to some extent, they may do better actually narrowing their approach rather than broadening it.
Yeah, I think so.
I think the more it broadens, the more it gets. Metroid Prime 3 is a great example you bring up, John, because the more broad that marketing attempted to be, the more meaningless it was. Yeah, and I think you were better off, even though you are talking about the relatively small proportion of Wii owners, focusing in on them like a laser beam, you know, rather than trying to hit everything and end up getting nothing.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll wrap up on third parties by saying, well, we've got Mad World, we've got Fatal Frame, we've got Capcom's Spyborgs thing. I forgot about that. That's a new IP. Well, some of the guys behind Ratchet or something.
Yeah, it is, but from what we've seen so far, it needs a lot of polish.
Well, I mean, graphics wise, I'm not that.
It was bad. It was bad.
I mean,
let's just say it was
we'll
bad.
I'm sure they'll have plenty of time to iron it out. I mean, the gameplay will be what will be interesting, but there's that. And not that, obviously, Castlevania we're looking at. Obviously,
I don't know.
We're looking at a 10 out of 10 from NWR.
I would expect EA to possibly have some. Yeah, I don't think they're going to let Boom Blocks get them down too badly. Although, I still don't think that. The book isn't closed on Boom Blocks yet.
I think Boom Blocks cost more to develop just by getting Spielberg's name on it than it did to actually make.
You haven't yet to actually play.
It doesn't matter. I can look at it and tell you they didn't spend that much.
But see, that's a classic example, though, with marketing.
Cassandra.
In the terms of they had Steven Spielberg's name attached to that game, but really, you would never even know that. I mean...
No.
Yes, I mean, it was bizarre that they didn't use it more prominently and then find a way to tie it into the content of the game somehow. But I guess that was difficult to do. But I would expect EA to still have something from the ground up for Wii. You know, they're this huge publisher. They're obviously going to have the sports games. But I would expect to see them have something, a few more interesting things as well. Anything that you guys are looking at in particular?
Publishers they've left the ESA. But I know for a fact that LucasArts is going to announce something.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're not there. I mean, they've got the Clone Wars stuff coming for Wii.
No, but I know they've got another project in the works.
And you think there's more?
No, I know for a fact there's more to come.
And John, any publishers you're looking at or developers in particular beyond the ones we mentioned?
In terms of third parties.
Well, it's interested to see what they're going to do. Will they have new IPs? Well, will they have existing?
I mean,
brands?
We kind of touched on this. I'm very interested to see what Treasure does. I'm very intrigued to see.
I mean, Treasure's very interesting
just because, you know, they kind of have the DS. You know, they kind of have the DS stuff going on, but you know, there really hasn't. I don't think there's really even anything from them announced on other platforms either that I can think of.
No, there's not.
No, I heard something about maybe they were doing something for the HD consoles quite a while ago, and I haven't really heard anything more. More recently, we've heard about the possibility of two Wii games. The interesting thing with Treasure versus what we've been talking about some of these other third parties that have had difficulties, that if they are producing something for Wii, it may well be second party. It may well be that they're collaborating with Nintendo as they did with Sin and Punishment. So again, in that and that's kind of similar to what's happening with Fatal Frame as well.
That's really how you get your games noticed on Nintendo consoles. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to use Nintendo as sort of a leverager of market power.
Yeah, and that's why you'll be interested to see if Fatal Frame really does profit off that or not.
Yeah,
given the kind of game it is. Treasure, certainly, you know, they have their own appeal. There'll be a certain amount of buzz. If it's a Nintendo-published game, that'll have something. But that, too, will be difficult to predict exactly what kind of a foothold it can get.
I think this isn't third-party. This is actually, you know, first-party. But I'm just looking at the list of Nintendo's internal development houses. Mm-hmm. There's about about 20 of them, and we currently know what three are working on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very pertinent point. I mean, we're sort of coming towards the end now with our final thoughts on stuff, any sort of things we haven't covered yet. I mean, one thing that I really, really want to see, regardless of what it is whatever EAD Tokyo are working on.
EAD Tokyo has sort of become like their second major development team, despite the fact
you got Jungle Beat was fantastic, completely unexpectedly brilliant. I mean, you'd never think that a game that was centered around controlling the bongos
would be so good.
That bongos could be so wonderful. And then Galaxy,
I think EAD Tokyo has sort of become like Miyamoto's pet team, even though they're actually a fairly small team compared to the other EAD teams.
Yeah, well, and what Miyamoto seems to currently refer to as the Zelda team, you know, he just calls it, presumably Kyoto. Like, I think that's pretty big, isn't it?
EAD 2, I think, is that one.
Yeah, they're like four times the size of the Wii Fit team, whatever, which obviously was quite small, but... You know, they're quite a big sort of something like 50 to 100.
Well, you know, Aonuma wasn't the lead in Twilight Princess, if I recall correctly. He was sort of like executive producer, and Miyamoto was like.
I don't know. I forget how.
Yeah, he had like the secondary position, and then Miyamoto.
He has been the steward of the Zelda franchise primarily, hasn't he?
Yeah, so I'm curious since Majora's Mask, what he's doing, because he doesn't have the executive. You know, responsibilities of Miyamoto, but at the same time, he did sort of go hands off on Twilight Princess for some reason or another.
I don't know to what extent he did or he didn't, but I mean, certainly, again, that's interesting. What that's, you know, as Miyamoto has put it, you know, in contrasting with the smaller teams that have worked on these sort of these different kinds of games like Wii Fit, what the quote unquote Zelda team is working on, because it may well not be Zelda.
Yeah.
Because it's Twilight Princess isn't that far behind us. You might think they may wait a little time yet, and they've been doing something since Twilight Princess and what they would be working on. And then, like, I don't care what EAD Tokyo, what the game is, like, it could be called anything I like, I'll be interested in it.
What if it was called Kokoto's?
Do well. There are some things that just don't bear mentioning, aren't there?
Well, see, I think what we're going to see in the future, maybe not immediately, I think we've already seen it with Zelda starting with Majora's Mask, is that we're going to start seeing essentially what come down to as Miyamoto's lieutenants taking over games. Mm-hmm. I think EAD Tokyo is an example of that. That's a team that, if I recall correctly, he put together.
Yeah.
And then he sort of just said go.
Yeah.
And just let them go. And then
Yeah, I mean, that is his overseer capacity is very much where it's at now. I mean, without a doubt. And how hands-on he gets is kind of is up to his discretion.
I think if he wants to get his hands dirty, he can get in there. His seconds start to get, you know, notoriety. I mean, we already know Aonuma, and people actually go and seek him for interviews now.
Yeah.
I think they'll start to get to do their own projects.
Well, it's very much,
and their own IP.
I mean, it's very much like the NFL, where you have somebody like Bill Parcells, where suddenly, you know, after Bill Parcells has his big, you know, his kind of time of success, you see 10, 15 years down the line, these people that he worked with and kind of mentored rise up through the ranks, and all of a sudden you look around and the best coaches in the league, they're all, you know, people that have been mentored by Bill Parcells. It's the very same thing with Miyamoto.
They're either related to Bill Parcells or
yes.
Bill Walsh. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, essentially.
That's
yeah.
the kind of the whole league.
Yep.
That's just true. I mean, yeah, Miyamoto at this point, he's an overseer, he's the general manager, I believe is his mm-hmm. title of EAD. So I guess he sets priorities in the division, and then he can kind of supervise development across a bunch of different places. And then if he feels it, I think, you know, because with Galaxy, I think he did get a little into it towards the end. He actually got in there and made some pretty nuts and bolts changes and things. So if he feels it necessary to insert himself into it, he will. But apparently, say for something like Phantom Hourglass, he pretty much was completely hands-off and left that to Aonuma and the gang to deal with. So, I mean, that's kind of where we've come with Nintendo now. But, yeah, I mean, the individual things are getting recognition, and EAD Tokyo deserve it.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to
that. I think that's what's going to be the next sort of generation as Miyamoto moves out of the company.
Yeah.
It's going to be the sort of fiefs that he propped up, their leaders, that are going to have to carry the burden, and they just can't keep cranking out his IPs.
Mm-hmm. So what about in terms of the bigger picture here? The classic question whenever an E3 rolls around, who won the show? Now, does anyone want to call who they think is going to win the show?
Oh, I think...
And who are they winning
it with?
I think
the N-Gage 2 is going to win the show.
I think it's going to be the Gizmondo 3.
Oh, hell yes.
The one-upmanship.
I don't know, I mean, it's...
All right, fine. Ubisoft is going to win the show.
Hands down.
They're gonna win your particular.
It'll be tough. I mean, I think
we can both agree that Sony's out.
I don't know, man. No, Sony's
well,
gonna have
yeah,
a really good
Little
showing,
Big Planet, Little Big Planet.
I don't think
Sony,
so. I think Microsoft's gonna have a huge show.
I think Sony is gonna actually have a pretty good show because they have a lot of huge games coming out this year or early 2009. Killzone 2.
Killzone 2.
Yeah,
that game's never coming out.
Resistance
2 is coming out. Little Big Planet is coming out.
You got Little Big Planet. Yeah. I mean,
Are they
actually going to do that or not? Is that actually going to happen?
That's supposedly going to happen.
Doesn't actually
exist.
Well, speaking of long rumors, is anybody actually really going to just rip off the Wii Remote? I mean, are we going to get
there was a new video that came out today about Banjo-Kazooie, was it Nuts and Bolts?
Yeah.
And it's got Ken Lov, who's the director of Microsoft Game Studios, said in the newest video about Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, quote, "The primary function that Kazooie has in this game is that she carries this wrench, and the wrench is used for all many different things. One of the things in the red game is that one of the things the wrench is used for is to turn these devices. So basically, you grab the wrench and twist with your controller around, and it'll move different things in the game."
So you think that although it's been shown with traditional controls, that this possibly suggests that it could also have been built with a Wii Remote style device in mind?
Well, it's a very odd quote that he would actually say, you twist the controller around and it'll move different things in the game. And the video is on IGN, so it's not like it's some, you know...
Yeah, sure. No, but it's interesting that part of it, we've already had the leak suggestions of the Microsoft avatars.
Yep.
You know, that's very, very much sort of even more Me Too, as Reggie would put it.
Yeah.
Or did put it regarding Home than Home was. It's very much the
same.
Well,
the thing
sort
of is, I also have to say if we do see something like avatars for the 360, will Nintendo respond to that in turn?
No, I don't think so.
I would presume not, but this is an interesting question. It says, will Sony and Microsoft really try and move towards Nintendo? I mean, is that going to be the strategy, or should they try and carve out their own niche?
Sony
and
might,
obviously,
because Sony is financially, Sony's in bad shape right now. They've lost $3 billion on the PS3 so far.
B. And I'm not sure how much more Sony can cut price, because it's just going to lose even more money.
Yeah, Microsoft, while they've still lost money on 360, I don't even think they've hit $1 billion yet. So losing $3 billion on a game system is unheard of.
Well, I mean, I really think that Sony's best days are ahead of them, just because they're really coming to the sweet spot of their game, their game releases. I mean, where
yeah,
they actually,
but, I mean
where the whole.
But it, so do you think
go
then?
Ahead,
that,
Greg?
So do you think, John, that therefore they should just continue on the trajectory that they're on and not try and capitulate and say, let's, you know, get in on this, what Nintendo
the one thing about Sony is that, you know, people forget that they have, you know, they do make things like the iToy. Like, they have actually been making very casual style stuff for quite a while.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Especially in Europe. That's true. They've got the pedigree of it. Yeah, and SingStar, stuff like that. It's been huge in Europe.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But
huge.
See, they've sort of had their legs cut out from under them in that regard in Europe. Where suddenly
I mean, Nintendo
insane.
Are firmly planted in
Europe,
that ground.
Europe was
that's
a big market for Sony. I mean, it dwarfed.
It's Sony territory, especially on the continent. Yeah. Microsoft 360 still has a great deal of trouble.
Yeah.
Gaining traction, even.
But
now.
with that casual market just cut out from under them, and in part because the PS3 costs so much goddamn money.
Exactly.
And in part because the Wii costs so little. It sort of shot themselves in the foot in Europe, which is a very casual-driven market.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, obviously, they do actually... Sony allows a certain amount of decentralization in terms of the regional control.
Yeah.
But, of course, one thing that Sony Europe can't control is what the hell the PS3 hardware is.
Yeah, and it is a very expensive piece of black metal.
Yeah.
Yeah, once that was set, I think they found themselves in a bind over here and then had their relative strength removed from them. But especially, I mean, Microsoft as well. I mean, at least Sony, I guess the one argument for Sony changing course is that they haven't been going that well so far.
No.
Today, but on the Microsoft side, do you really think even we've seen pretty solid indications they're going to do this? Is it really fruitful for them?
I don't think they're going
to change course now and fudge this kind of shoehorning this accessibility.
I don't think so.
See, I don't think it's going
to
be
what has been very successful as a core gaming platform.
I don't think any changes they make are going to be major. I think it would just be something to augment what they're already doing. So if they do release a motion sensitive controller, I don't think it's going to become the primary focus of the 360.
No,
well, I don't think it can.
Yeah.
I just think it's impossible. I mean, the problem is just that, you know, the Wii remote, it's a whole paradigm. It's a whole marketing thing. It's the identity of the console. You can't rebrand the whole thing.
Yeah.
Nor would you want to when you've sold as many as you have 3 years into its life.
I mean,
you just can't do it.
I don't think they plan on it.
The fact of the matter is that the Wii has, it is known as the family console, bar none. If you have kids, just buy a Wii. You don't even have to think about it. There's a whole bunch of games that they'll love.
Well,
you know,
you have to think about where you're going to find
that
one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I mean, it has that, you know, people know it as that. You know, if you...
Yeah, it's got that traction.
Absolutely.
With people. And because the whole image, the marketing, the conception of it is geared towards that. 360, if you try and do that, I question how real the success is going to be, because you can't change horses midstream in that way. You just can't do it.
Oh, well, my great inside knowledge of LucasArts has already been spilled by some other press outlet, so I'll go ahead and break it for you. Battlefront 3 is going to be coming out in March for the Wii, 360, PS3, DS, PSP, PlayStation 2.
Cool.
Full spread.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well,
I guess...
There is a distinct absence there, though. I'll read it for you again. You can listen to it. Wii, 360, PS3, DS, PSP, and PS2. There's no PC version.
Oh, yeah, well, because you were playing it on the PC, weren't you, James? The second one. I said.
James Jones, Scoopmaster, and Box Hunter.
Yeah.
So given that, yeah, so overall, though, my prediction is, I don't think Nintendo are quite going to have the same big defining kind of thing with the mainstream that Wii Fit was last year.
I don't think it's even possible.
Whatever it is that they've got up their sleeve, whether it's something to do with Animal Crossing or music or something we have no inkling of at this point, it's not going to be the same impact as Wii Fit. And therefore, in terms of with the, you know, not the IGNs and the GameSpots and the 1UPs, but the Newsweeks and all that sort of thing, they're not going to win E3 in the same way.
Yeah,
they
but
did
I mean,
last
but on,
no.
on the other hand,
I,
though,
I think we can agree on that.
On the other hand, I feel like things are so wide open right now that we really don't know what Nintendo's going to show, and we kind of know what Sony's going to show,
we
and
don't.
We kind of know what the three like what Microsoft is going to show. So Nintendo could come in and just put something out there that is so crazy.
Yeah, Nintendo has the biggest shock potential. The Nintendo has the biggest shock potential. I mean, we don't. I mean, something like, I mean, obviously they've already spilled the beans on something like Wario, which is kind of shocking in its own little way.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's kind of encouraging in its own little way that maybe they will have these little offshoots of core games and all that. But in terms of something really big, you know, that they're going to drop on the in the mainstream, they could, because they could easily have just completely concealed it. And, you know, heretofore we have had no inkling of
it. And you
know
full well that the media, they're not watching Sony, they're not watching Microsoft, they're watching Nintendo. You know, USA Today and CNN, they're all looking at what Nintendo is going to do, because they know that their readers care about that.
Because they're the market leader. Yeah, I mean, they're the market leader. Their readership is probably more familiar with them at this point. And they're probably, you know, there's no doubt they're going to be.
That was the biggest mistake of the terrible E3 monster they created last year, was that it didn't get the general press there, because general press wanted to cover that big, ridiculous, stupid story that was E3-06.
Yeah.
Where there's just, like, crap everywhere, and there's, like, women walking around wearing skimpier clothes than some strip joints. And, I mean, that was sort of part of the story. And I think now that element's going to be back, not so much the whole, you know, near-nudity thing, but just it's going to be all one central, crazy location. I think there's a bigger ability to create a splash than Wii Fit would have done on its own. But at the same time, I don't think there's anything that could do it.
No, I don't think we're going to have quite something as earth-shattering as Wii Fit, relatively, you know, not so much for us, obviously, but, you know, that was definitely a big moment for them, and kept the Wii brand very kind of relevant and prominent in the public mind. And, you know, I mean, it's entirely possible that that game, the announcement of that game, actually helped drive Wii sales months before it came out. I mean, that is possible. I'm not sure whether they can pull that trick.
I mean, I think the one thing the thing that would be earth-shattering for us would be if they just, you know, release something that's incredibly hardcore, you know, just something that's totally like a really hardcore RPG.
Well, I think more to the point, it obviously is the question of would they play it up? I mean, even if they had it, is it going to be that prominent? Because You get the feeling now that these, you know, the presentations with the, obviously the self-congratulatory pie charts,
yeah,
and the YouTube videos and all that, that's all going to be there.
Oh,
and
yes.
they're playing to the mainstream media rather than the game niche media.
Oh yeah.
You know, and therefore, even if they've got some of this stuff that we really really want and like as long-time gamers and Nintendo enthusiasts, would they even emphasize it? I mean, that part
are you
is
implying they might pull something like they did originally with Smash Brothers and not even bother during the major press conference?
It's possible, because it's just like, well, that'll take care of itself elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, we are communicating to a very different, a very specific audience in a very specific way with this, and then our various other arms of PR will communicate to the gamers directly through the big gaming media sites and sites like ours that, you know, are very fan centric. So I mean that part of it as well, where how they'll even play up those kinds of games, or whether are they going to put an emphasis on trying to get people to buy these so called bridge games now, or are they just going to be content to leave it to the more pure sort of accessible stuff? It'll all be very interesting. I mean, one thing I could guarantee, according to Reggie, is that there will be at least one core game that will.
Well,
be
I mean,
about.
Something. I'm thinking. So,
well, I think he didn't even say at least. Several. He actually said one.
Well, I mean, you could see. I think you could see something maybe like a Pokemon RPG for Wii.
The usage of the Pokemon brand has been very conservative. Apart from like the crazy spin-offs that are kind of very tangentially related in terms of actually advancing
Pokemon
the series,
Dash. Been
very conservative. Yeah, I mean, all the Troze, Dash, Ranger, Mystery Dungeon, goes on and on and on. But in terms of the main series, they have been so conservative. And you've got to think that, I mean, we talk about the commercial imperative with Nintendo. Surely there's one there with
Pokemon.
No,
there's not, clearly, because the game sold like a billion copies.
But that's the whole thing, though. If you want something that's earth-shattering that the mainstream press would grab onto, that is it.
I don't think the mainstream press would grab.
Well, the thing is,
Pokemon
every single
game.
Parent out there, their ears would definitely perk up, because they'll be like, "Yeah, my kid's gonna want this Pokemon game. I don't know what the hell it is, but
yeah, I mean, even though you know this, even though the you know it goes back the better part of a decade now in the West, you know that Pokemon brand still has such a resonance with yeah. parents and children and things. You know, I mean, the power of it is undeniable. So if they did do something quite radical with it, I'm sure that would gain a presumably paired with something like a Wii yes. Music or so. You know, that would kind of be the sort of the two sides to Nintendo's. Sort of appeal.
Well, the thing
mainstream.
Is with a Pokemon RPG is that if you want to talk about a bridge title, I mean, I hear, you know, Pokemon RPG on the Wii, even though I'm not a huge Pokemon fan, I'm like, that's kind of intriguing, you know? I mean, they could do a lot of stuff with that. They could make that pretty cool.
They have been curiously resolute about not doing stuff like yeah. that. You know, we've had like the sort of spruced up Pokemon Stadium uh-huh. type yeah. games, and then the most recent Pokemon Stadium type game was actually a step yeah. back from mm-hmm. that. So, I mean, they haven't shown the inclination to do it. Certainly would be something huge. But, I mean, I think they will probably win the recognition war in the mainstream media
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
Because we have no idea what they're preparing for the more gamer types, I can't even begin to think how it's going to play in that area because we just don't
know.
Well,
the one company that I'm kind of curious to hear from is are the guys that ported Okami, which is Ready at Dawn.
Curious. Yeah. That'll be interesting because there's some talk that they're done with PSP mm-hmm. development at this point.
Yeah.
You know, they had been very PSP-centric and now they're moving away from that. So that could be another interesting thing, who they could get paired up with, what kind of like, because obviously they've handled, you know, stuff like was it God of War?
Yeah, they God of War and
obviously
yeah, and Daxter
Okami.
Actually on the PSP and then Okami.
So they've handled these big sort of brands, you know, pretty big brands. Well, Okami not so much as a brand, you know, but it's still a recognized
critically acclaimed
game.
Yeah, definitely.
Indeed. So that could be interesting what they cook up, and I just think probably Microsoft. I think we'll mostly continue down the road they have in terms of with Gears. You know, Gears
yep.
is going to be huge,
yeah.
Presumably, and stuff like that. And Fallout 3, that's something that's probably on
yeah.
a lot of people's radar in terms of how sort of ambitious and obviously it's the next thing.
I mean,
from the
I think that'll likely
guys,
be game of the show.
Oblivion.
I'm sure Fallout 3. People,
yeah.
That game is just huge across all platforms. It's huge.
Well, I think that's helped by the fact that Activision Blizzard won't be there.
Yeah.
I agree otherwise they'd have
point.
To contend with Diablo 3.
Yeah.
They're not going to be there because they dropped out of the ESA.
Yeah, sure. That's a fair point. That obviously is another huge sort of brand that some would go up against it, but because of the ESA mm-hmm. stuff, it won't.
Yeah. So I mean.
Well, I guess that's going to bring us to a close. It was a good discussion, guys. Yes, I'm surprisingly so. Yeah, but I do think, in all honesty, this is a pretty pivotal E3 in terms of there's so much we don't know. All the GameCube derived stuff and the stuff we knew about early is done.
It's gone.
Metroid,
yes.
Metroid, Smash, Zelda, Mario, all that stuff. It's gone. We don't know what's next, and what is going to be next may well define
yeah.
the Wii software library go forward. So this is going to be a huge deal for us in terms of what we can expect from the platform here on out. So it certainly merits the discussion. And I've just finished by saying thanks to John and James for joining me again.
My pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Our podcast team that chooses to show up every week, unlike some people.
Oh. haven't we made any Johnny jokes today?
We've been...
Because we've had
well,
stuff
see,
to talk
that's
about.
The thing.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly. I mean, without Johnny here, we can actually talk about stuff. He doesn't dominate the conversation.
Oh, that's it.
Right? So, there you go.
It's not just us going, well, you know, and then,
but look at me. I'm Johnny Metz. Ah.
Oh, good God. Well, before we completely...
Magic
Johnny,
the Gathering.
I was just talking to Billy Berghammer yes. and Chris Kohler. Yeah, I'm Johnny Metz.
Oh, you see, the bitterness doesn't die.
You guys didn't want to talk about the N64, did you?
No. I definitely did not blow £550 on that to get it early from Japan and then played Mario 64 for like 24 hours straight or anything like that. Definitely didn't happen.
No.
But yeah, but before we completely alienate Johnny, we should say that next week we will not be producing Narathon for you, unfortunately. I'm sure that will
We've been kicked off.
Bring a... That will bring a sad look to many people's eyes, but because the site and the podcast will be concentrating on bringing E3 coverage to you, and Johnny and our esteemed director, Stephen Windyman Rodriguez, will be on site reporting for you, so look forward to that. And obviously all our site coverage of E3, which is sure to be extensive, and hopefully we'll actually get everything covered. And it's going to be a challenge, you know. All the mainstream sites obviously complain that this time of year is hell on earth, and
they're getting
and
paid to do it.
They're getting paid to do it. There are fewer of them, but in terms of there'll be three or four people, I guess, tasked with it. But hopefully, we'll use our numbers to our advantage. And so, yep. Thanks for listening, and I guess we'll see you to break all this down after E3 is over.
Later,
later.
Yeah, that guy is f***ing nuts.
Yeah, he is nuts.
He is so off it, it's ridiculous. All right, I'll count us in on that thought. That'll keep us jovial. Okay, and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
That was the worst clap ever.
Oh, God damn it, James.
I couldn't hear the f***ing clap from either of you.
All right, do it again.
I heard it late. Okay, we'll do it again, yeah. All right. And I'll just go from 3 this time. All right, 3, 2, 1.